This shows you just how mean-spirited the organization.
You know what I think it shows, Eleanor, is it certainly shows that, but it shows the kind. It also shows the kind of arrogance,
yes,
that these officials have. They feel, and the city council just routinely rubber stamps their proposals one after another. They had Fitzmaurice as mayor, who could do no wrong.
I know. I remember him getting up and leaving the council chambers when you made mention during oral communications that these people were not as they appeared.
Yeah, I was asking about the connections between Mercy Charities Housing, their oversight group, the Sisters of Mercy, a
uh-huh.
Catholic group, and that's fine. There are a lot of good Catholic charities. But also, there are some bad ones. Catholic Healthcare West takes over hospitals and just denies women the right to choose. And they are doing that all over the country, or at least all over the state. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I thought was worth at least a look-see. But, you know, Fitzmaurice shouted that I was, he didn't shout, he snarled,
yeah,
is probably the way to say it. He snarled that I was an anti-Catholic bigot and walked out of the room. I won't listen to this bigotry.
Well, you know. I'm Catholic myself, and so is Robert.
Uh-huh.
And my attorney is Catholic. So, you know, wow. They got a problem here with us to try and say that we're anti. We are. The problem here is they're hiding behind a religion. This isn't what religion is all about. This is, you know, they're using their religion to get in. And they're not as they appear. And I hope I don't have the energy to go back to city council again. I may...
No, don't even think of going back to city council. They are a group that is useless. It's the community that we have to appeal to. And I'm not sure that, you know, the proper channels to use, because free radio, of course, does have an audience, and I'm glad people are listening to it, but we are limited.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the thing to do, I don't know what the thing to do is, but just discussing this issue, the arrogance of these officials stems from the fact that they are the monopoly service provider in Santa Cruz who can get whatever they want from
Good
the city
point.
Council. They really can. I mean, I am not exaggerating. And people who've been listening to my show, and this show's been on the air for 7 years, know the kind of regular, based on the regular reports of what Mercy Charities Housing is able to get at city council year after year with no dissent. There's actually one person, Mark Premack, has dissented with some gingerness. I mean, he's a little bit, you know, I mean, he's treading on sacred ground when you criticize Mercy Charities Housing, or Mercy Housing California, as they now call themselves. You know, they make it appear that you're attacking Latino residents in the beach flats, when in fact you're really defending Latino residents, because
exactly.
They're going to destroy the Dolphin Lee apartments just like they destroyed the Rex Court apartments, and they're going to be putting all the affordable housing money for the next 5 years and beyond into those apartments to create less units for less people than were there beforehand.
I know.
And it's outrageous. And of course, if they can do that, and they can do that so publicly, even though SCAN opposed this, and the Green Party demanded guarantees for the tenants before this proceed, and all these different groups spoke up for it, and they ignored it. You know, I mean, the council just sort of, including Mayor Christopher Crone,
yeah,
you know, just, you know, bent over and said, hey, do it to me, you know, fine, we're okay, you know, take all the public money for affordable housing.
It affects them, and they want to push it through so they don't have to think about it. And they just don't want to think about it. They want to get it done, and that's it. And
right, it's get done. This little affordable housing project is going to be their little shining jewel, but actually it's, of course, a plum for Mercy Charities Housing.
Yeah, and it's going to be a blight for us. They aren't, you know...
You know what I suggest you do?
Yes.
Go to the grand jury. Make a complaint to the grand jury. I actually met a grand juror downtown who suggested I do this and starts filing complaints with the grand jury. File written complaints. You're very good at, you know, putting these matters in concise, legally clear terms. I would suggest a specific series of complaints to the grand jury about Mercy Charities Housing. I will do the same, because the other thing that Mercy Charities has been doing that is so outrageous, the city council has been pretty stupid in handing everything over to Mercy Charities Housing. I guess we can say that's the city council's stupidity. Mercy Charities has been illegally meeting behind closed doors in this Dolphin Lee project, even though it is meeting with an officer of the city council, the mayor in many cases, who votes, and it's a city council-funded body. It should be open to the public. They have closed it down. That's a violation of the Brown Act. To challenge it in court and you tried to help me do this last year, requires more resources, time, and commitment than I have. But a complaint to the grand jury would require them, if the grand jury takes it seriously and if it's sufficiently well documented, to explain it to the grand jury, which might be a little more difficult, and might not. They, of course, they have, you know, these sweet singers like Elizabeth Vogel, who can just run in, and Cecil Cirillo, the redevelopment agency, who pretties everything up, and you know.
Yeah, and they just do not listen. I spoke with the actual person who on the planning department who approved of the plan for Mercy Housing, because I wanted to get to the person who was responsible for some of the things that are wrong here. And one of them is this daycare center yard right outside my bedroom windows, and the bedroom windows of other disabled people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nightmare here. It's 20 hours a week of screaming. This is not normal playground activity. This is a development, child development center that looks the other way, that they just, their minds are somewhere else, the people in charge. And these kids, they scream bloody murder 4 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Well, I also know you're trying to move out of there, and I wanted to ask you about that. I know that you have been successful in requiring Mercy Charities Housing to respect your tenancy.
Yes.
And, of course, you've actually gotten the neighbors who were actively harassing you, some of them employees of Mercy Housing.
Yes.
By essentially criminal prosecutions.
Yes.
You called the police, and then they stepped up their harassment campaign until the day that the judge ordered them to stop, and then you've had fairly good relations ever since.
Yes, it was very bad here. I was hounded. It was horrible.
But
we reached a point, if I may just say, that the police were saying, when you have to leave your apartment to go to your doctor's appointment, call us first and we'll escort you to the car.
Wow, interesting.
That's how bad it was.
That's the Santa Cruz Police Department, who doesn't have the most, deep solicitude for poor people. And you're
I have to tell you, I salute the police in this town. If it weren't for them, they would have made mincemeat out of me long ago. They have consistently responded appropriately to the situation.
Well, I think that part of that is because you are a well-spoken, articulate, attractive person who knows what she's talking about, who is able to express herself in a moderate tone of voice, who has the vocabulary, the education, and the skills to do so.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not trying to flatter you. I'm saying that there are plenty of people who don't and who get treated like shit by the police. So I'm glad they're treating you right, and I hope they continue to do so. And I acknowledge and I want to put forward your commendation of their behavior, and
oh,
I find
gosh,
it in.
Yes.
But the point I was making, I guess.
Please do, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Was that you are going to be? You're trying to get into another apartment where the landlord tripled the rent, and that was the reason you got into this little problem with Mercy about the rent
and
check and so forth.
This is another HUD subsidized property. We've got two in the area. This one's in Capitola. We've got two.
What's the name of this group that are you? If you're
Accessible Space Incorporated.
And this is the group that initially were charging you the appropriate amount of money for the subsidized apartment.
Yes.
And then suddenly tripled it, claiming that
10 days after they encouraged me to give my notice and gave me my final approval that I was in, I called to check to see how things were progressing, and that I found out that this is what they were going to do. And I have an action against them now,
mm-hmm.
Which I just got yesterday, a response from an attorney piped up finally, because I was hearing nothing from them. I did get an answer from an attorney who claims to be assisting them but not representing them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I have to prepare.
You have a court date coming up on that?
29th.
And where is that?
It's here in Santa Cruz.
Court, the department?
Gee, you know, offhand.
It's okay. When you figure it out, give us a call and let us know, because I think folks are interested in following this case.
Well, if I can believe what their answer says, which
uh-oh,
I can't believe, but anyway, it says Department 5, but I'm not certain.
At what time?
9 a.m., but I thought it was 8:30, so I have to check my records, because
this is on January
29th.
Okay, yeah. We're talking to Eleanor Foresta, who has successfully fought back an eviction from Mercy Housing. She's a disabled person in a wheelchair who actually was ready to leave the apartment but needed a little extra time because the other new landlord jacked up the rent, and she's taking that new landlord to court to stop the jacking of the rent. But Mercy Housing, instead of being sympathetic, the lower folks who were sympathetic, they did offer to put aside the 30-day notice, but the higher-up, Steve Farmer, and the guy who was running the place, decided that they wanted to get rid of Eleanor because she's been advocating for their standardizing their apartments. They've been having substandard conditions for people who are disabled. It's interesting, they like to criticize the Dolphin Lee apartments for being substandard, but Mercy Housing apparently has its own problems with standards.
I'm glad you brought that up, Robert, because I believe all you're going to end up seeing is what you see here, something that looks visually attractive as people go by, but those that are inside living in it are living in hell.
Interesting. You know, it's sort of like the appearance. This is, to me, again, I've been talking about fascism running the country or sweeping the country or being this new model that's being used without being called fascism, of course. Everything looks pretty, you know, the happy children of Germany marching into the future. But underneath, of course, you know, you don't get to see, you hear the cries of pain or see the repression. It's these fixed smiles. Of course, everybody's a little nervous and they don't want to be too critical of this and that.
Yes.
It's, you know,
we're afraid to speak up.
It's really important when people like you speak up, and I hope you're successful at this court appearance.
Okay.
I should also mention that you were homeless for several years.
4 years and...
4 years.
1 month.
I mean, I met you in your vehicle. You were going from church parking lot to church parking lot.
That's correct. We kept in compliance with the Santa Cruz
sleeping ban.
At all times, we were hosted by gracious churches.
Now, here's a point I want to bring up. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's
ahead.
Fine. Go ahead.
When you stayed in churches, you stayed there for several months at a time, right?
Oh, got one for 2 years, yeah.
Right. Now, in fact, in 1995, and we have to credit Scott Kennedy and Catherine Byers with this, although it was a drop in the bucket, it did provide you with a sanctuary. They made a change in the sleeping ban law, which said that church parking lots could take 3 vehicles for any amount, any length of time, with the permission of the church, of course.
Yes, written permission.
Written permission of the church, and that's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
There is an amendment to the camping ban coming up on Tuesday at City Council, which I'm going to discuss at greater length later. Actually, 2 amendments, or it's actually a series of changes in the wording, which amount to 2 amendments. The First Amendment, they're both by Kennedy, Premack, and Porter, they amount to, the better amendment is one that currently people in parks, the park department, which gives, let's say, permits to the AIDS march that comes through every year, the AIDS walk, to camp out. There's a provision in the current camping ban law, which the sleeping ban is embedded, that says that you can only do this 3 days per year, can a particular group camp in any one of the parks with a permit from the Parks and Rec Department, which requires liability, toilets, blah, 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 a whole series of conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get from Jim Lang, he hasn't returned my call, a list of all the groups that have gotten such permits in the last 10 years. I don't think many have. I think it's, you know, a bogus process. It was actually put into place when an activist successfully challenged it in court back in 1988, Linda Edwards. She was an activist. But that's another story. What's happening at the Tuesday City Council meeting is there's this amendment that will allow parks to... The Park and Recs Director to suspend this 3-day-a-year requirement for groups that are engaged in conservation and restoration activity. And that would be, of course, groups like Camp Paradise or the Santa Cruz Service Corps. And this would be the first concrete, if very small, move that would allow for an opening in the law. It doesn't allow Camp Paradise to have a camp. It allows the director to let them stay in one of these 3 parks, and the 3 parks are San Lorenzo Benchlands, De La Vega, Lower De La Vega Park, and Harvey West, all of which would be very hard because there would be massive protest from neighbors on each of those parks. So it's not really an attempt to deal with Camp Paradise because the city has plenty of city-owned property where there would be much less protest by neighbors. It's just the city is doing this because it's making these token efforts that it isn't really that concerned that it's going to have any real consequences. That's my interpretation of it. But the second thing, and this is the reason that I'm keeping you on the phone so long.
I can't wait to hear this. Please tell us.
The second amendment that the Kennedy, Premack, and Porter are bringing up on the Tuesday afternoon city council session, which starts at 3 for those of you who want to come down to it, and hot food will be provided, by the way. by Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. The Second Amendment is an amendment that will allow, it is a suspension of the so-called 3-day limit per month in church parking lots. Now, doesn't that sound a little strange to you?
There is no 3-day
You
limit
got
per
it.
Month in
there is no
lots.
3-day. It is a completely useless and pointless amendment. But there's more.
It's to make it look like they're doing something.
Oh, it's actually worse than that. It's just a simple error. But you know what they're doing as well? They are saying that they are going to impose a 3-day limit on business parking lots and on backyards and side yards.
But don't they have the ones, the 3-day limit?
The only thing where there's a 3-day limit at the current time is the driveway of a residence.
Yes.
That was put in by our good Green Party former mayor.
And wasn't that a step backwards?
No, it was a step, well, it was a step forward in a certain sense. You weren't allowed to park in a driveway at all. Now, with the written permission of the owner and the tenant, you can stay there, but for no more than 3 days in any calendar month. And this came not from any kind of investigation of other cities. This came because Tim Fitzmaurice sort of noticed that there's a thing like a 72-hour notice for towing an abandoned vehicle, and he got the kind of, you know, lopsided idea that he should paste this on to that. That was back in 1999. Well, the 3-day-per-month restriction only refers to driveways. It's always been the case you can camp as long as you want in somebody's backyard or side yard. You can camp as long as you want in a church parking lot if they have their permission. But that means in a vehicle. You can't do it outside the vehicle. And in fact, that's what we thought Kennedy was going to do, is introduce a resolution that would allow people to camp in church property without... not in a vehicle. That would be an expansion of the exemptions from the sleeping and camping ordinances. So he didn't do that. Although it has to also be said that there are claims that these are the first drips and drabs of a few changes in the camping and sleeping bans. So,
well, do you think that we can thank Scott Kennedy for this, for it even coming out?
I'm not about to thank him until I get a clear sense of what's going on here. I mean, see, there are two problems. It doesn't address the Camp Paradise need for a campground. You know, it just says if Jim Lang wants to, he can, if all these other conditions are met, and there's a whole bunch of them, and I'm going to read them later in the show. Sure. Maybe I should read them now. I don't know.
You know, I'd like to say, I'm going to get off the air to give other people an opportunity, but I would like to say one thing. Nobody, they're still not addressing people who don't have vehicles. And this is the very sad...
Oh, yeah, 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people.
I mean, come on, it's bitter cold out there.
Right.
And people are out there sick in this cold. They have nowhere to go when they're sick. It's deplorable. And, you know, there's one quick thing I'd like to say here. We've talked about in the past about the reasons why people become homeless and the makeup of the population of homeless. And we have said... the majority of the people are disabled people that are homeless. 40% of all single men that are homeless are Vietnam veterans. But one thing I would like to say is we have in Santa Cruz County 4,000 mental patients. We have 400 beds. So if you wonder why you have a lot of people out there just standing there looking out into space and just sitting there beaten with pathetic looks on their face, many of them belong in hospitals, and there's no room for them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the facilities should be provided for those who want them or need them. But there's a move going on to force people to go into treatment facilities.
They'll never get away with that. That can be sued.
Right. Well, they're trying to change the law. They changed it in New York, and they changed it in other states, allowing needles on wheels to come around and force you to take medication and things of this sort. Supposedly.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's happened in more than 40 states. That is
because
now the norm.
I know when I was in New York, there was something going on there where they were.
Right.
Mayor Koch was saying everyone's going to have a bed. Nobody's going to be cold, and they forced a man in, and he sued me.
Yeah, that was a long time.
That was
in the 80s or the early 90s. You know, that now under Mayor Giuliani, and I guess there's a new mayor there now, you know, it's gotten much, much worse.
Oh.
Well, you heard this editorial that this woman had, what's her name?
Uh,
Kim Bingham wrote.
Yes.
Well, listen, we've been talking to Eleanor Foresta, who has successfully won a lawsuit that an eviction, stayed an eviction by Mercy Housing, is now trying to make sure that the landlord who she's trying to get into, into whose housing she's trying to get into, HUD subsidized, they should be, you know, willing to follow the law. They get enough profit out of it. Now they want to squeeze more money. Apparently HUD is also trying to squeeze money out of this.
Well, let me tell you what the deal is there. When you rent a property in a HUD-subsidized complex, say the market rent is $1,200 for the apartment, and you pay 30% of your income. I'm just throwing figures out. Say that comes to $400 or $300 or $500, whatever it is a month that you have to pay, HUD subsidizes the balance up to the market value. When HUD subsidizes it, that portion of the money that comes from HUD doesn't come until the end of the year or whenever they make their payment.
To the landlord.
To the landlord, exactly. The landlord gets his monthly rent from the tenant, but has to wait for the money from HUD. If they can turn around and shake down the tenant somehow, then HUD is off the hook for that money. They're happy. They're not going to go along and see to it that they follow the rules. The landlord, that is, follows the rules. So the HUD is off the hook for a lot of money, and the landlord gets his money at the first of the month rather than a year later or whenever HUD. So it's a win-win for them. So you can't look to HUD to be support there because they stand to benefit. So we have to do, as I always say, take it to the people. Go to court and have a jury trial. And let your peers decide, is this the way the government intended it to be for you? Or is this the way they're manipulating it for it to happen? And then, God willing, the jury sees through it and they vote. And we pray that they do for us again, as they did last week in the Mercy Housing case, that they listen to the testimony, go over the facts, adhere to the law, and find for the poor souls who are caught in between the rock and the hard place here. Thank
you. Here. And good luck, and please get back to us with updates.
Oh, I certainly will. And thank you so very much, and thank you, Becky. And I want to thank you both for being there. I can't tell you how wonderful it was. I was on the stand when each of you one by one came in. It was so wonderful for me to have the faces of people, of the people of the community there for me. I just appreciate it so very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, it's wonderful to have people standing up for the rights that eventually all of us will enjoy because a few are taking the risk. It's an important process. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. This is the extended version of Bathrobs Pierre's Broadsides. Happens every Sunday from 10 to 1:30. Hoping we can actually get some mileage out of this equipment. Let's see how it's going. Yeah. Doesn't look like it's going. Technicians, take note. We need some help in the studio, so if you're around, come on down. Phone lines, however, are open. 427-3772. 427-3772 is the number to call. And we will talk to you. I'm scrambling for some more information here. I talked a bit about the upcoming camping ban amendments that are on the City Council agenda, and I'm going to talk some more about them. Let's see what this caller has to say, though.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
I was just not following orders.
Well, you better follow orders, LaMonica, if you know what's good for you.
Well, before I go any further, I agree to not say liberation obedience more than 5 times during this.
You can say
calling.
It 6, but if you say it a 7th, I'm calling the police.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to offend the Free Radio Liberation Obedience Gestapo.
Well, there you are.
Or any other Gestapo, for that matter.
Well, certainly.
I have a point here about Catholic Healthcare West regarding abortions.
Right.
They have the right, in my opinion, to not provide abortion services.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking for an argument?
Well, you lean on them and use that as a case in point.
Well, I just note that a large organization, which I don't know how tax exempt they are with their connections with the Catholic Church, able to make seize a lot of what are maybe profit making activities or supposed to be public health hospitals, and essentially establish zones where it's very, very difficult for women who want to have abortions to get.
Well, they can march right on down to Laurel Street and
I'm not talking about Santa Cruz. There are plenty of other places in the country where it's much more difficult.
I still will say that Catholic Healthcare West, in accordance with their philosophy and ideals, has the right to not provide abortion services on demand.
Alrighty. Well, I'll accept that. By the way, I also was about to read the statewide housing rights movement update. I was thinking of trying to get a call to John Eller or Brian Kettenring or maybe Amy Schur. I know you went to this convention last week.
In fact, they were all there.
Yeah. How did things go at the convention now that I've got you on the phone?
It's always good to impede cynicism by such gatherings. There were about 70 people there from all over California, from San Diego to San Francisco to Modesto.
Concerned about rent control, right?
Rent control and tenants' rights issues in general. There were three legislative aides that were there that addressed the group. I think it was very, very exciting. Some people that I had wanted to meet for years, Denny Zane from Santa Monica was there. Denny Zane was pivotal in Santa Monica's rent control ordinance and in their pedestrian mall ordinance, two issues that I have been fond of and remain fond of that I think fit Santa Cruz very well. By the way, there's always ways to dodge the rent control bullet by saying that it's been taken down several notches by Costa Hawkins, therefore we won't step up to the plate about it, that there isn't this or isn't that. The fact of the matter is that you could build affordable housing units all day long, and you're still not going to reach the people that you will reach by implementing a rent control ordinance.
And let me interrupt you on that, because I actually was reviewing the Wednesday Talk About interview with Mayor Chris Crone, at which rent control, he didn't bring it up, and his host didn't bring it up, Michael Samet, unfortunately, but a caller brought it up, and he did exactly what you just said. He dodged it mentioning, oh, Costa Hawkins means that's not really an option for us, you know, we can't really, maybe we can talk about that, and so forth. In other words, the good work you did, and you're a man who 2 years ago circulated a petition to try to get just rent control as an advisory measure on the ballot. You couldn't get city council members to bring it up for a city council vote just to put on the ballot as an advisory measure.
I've said this to you off the radio, Robert. I don't dislike any of these folks. In fact, I think I'm quite fond of them.
You are much too tolerant there, Jim.
But if you think that they're charismatic firebrands or that they ever were intended to be charismatic firebrands, it's not going to happen.
Well, I don't know.
An issue like rent control, unless it's given to them on a platter or unless there's such incredible force coming down from above, it's not going to happen. I want to throw this in there.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 99...
You're too nice to him, Bob.
Back in 99, land trust was floated as a reason why rent control was not necessary. We were going to have all these land trust units that were going to proliferate across our community, right? Mm-hmm. You remember that? There were going to be endless land trust units that were going to be manifested. And I'm not good at math, but we're talking 3 years down the road, and I don't know, I mean, how many land trust
Well, you know, it's interesting you should say that because, you know, all the money being dumped into the Dolphin Lee Project for Mercy Charities Housing means no money for the purchase of land for land trusts here in Santa Cruz. And apparently that was not properly explained to land trust people because they didn't attempt to go down and say, look, why isn't the city buying vacant property so that stuff can be built on it, whether it's subsidized housing or low-income housing or land trusts, anything. Instead, they just decided they'd give the whole boodle to Mercy Charities Housing. I suppose that's better than giving it to Catholic Healthcare West, but, you know, not much better.
Santa Cruz is not alone in being able to present deflections. And in my opinion, the land trust ball was a deflection in 99, just like the Homeless Issues Task Force was a monumental deflection, along with being a paycheck for Don Lane.
The Homeless Issues Task Force, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, okay.
Although they came up with good recommendations, they were completely ignored, of course.
Now, back to rent control quickly. Yeah. I don't believe that Santa Monica or San Francisco or Berkeley or East Palo Alto, which have rent control, are going to dump their rent control because of Costa Hawkins.
Briefly explain what Costa-Hawkins, that's vacancy decontrol means...
Among other things, vacancy decontrol and
what that means to those of you...
Single-family dwellings are exempt and condos are exempt.
Exempts condos, exempts three families or three people or less dwellings, and also... In other words, they took the rent control that was in force in certain cities and said, you cannot have if there are three units or less, is that what it is?
Single-family dwellings.
Single-family dwellings can't...
And condos, which qualify as single-family dwellings.
They can't be regulated. They exempted those, and they also said if you move out of a building, then the landlord can jack up the rent all she or he wants.
That's vacancy decontrol.
Vacancy decontrol.
All right. Now, I say, to look at it from this perspective, these things have so moderated rent control that it would seem that a rational person would find the argument for rent control to be very credible, in that the landlord can jack up the rent to whatever they want when the tenant moves out. Rent control, quite simply defined, is that your rent is protected while you're there. Your rent is regulated by law. Rent control regulates residential rent increases while a tenant resides in the regulated unit.
So you got to have a just eviction law in there, too, to help out.
It's generally built in to a good rent control ordinance like Berkeley, like Santa Monica, like San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that would go hand in hand. And the fact of the matter is that I've heard this multiple times. If you can't afford to live here, move out.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it, in fact, yesterday. If you can't afford to live here, move out. And what I say to that is, you know, what about the low-income workers? What about the hamburger flipper at Jack's? What's the solution? Are we going to keep waving this free market flag? And I believe in the free market, okay? I do, and I believe that there is that capitalism has its place.
Well, it's like it's like the free press, Bob. It's free for anyone who owns one.
The other alternative, if you put all your eggs in one basket you start mummifying Lenin. You end up with Cass telling you what's right, and like China now, you end up with having the internet filtered, and you go to jail if they find out.
I don't think we need to choose either the devil or the deep blue sea. We got other
options. There you go. So, I mean, I agree with that. Okay, mm-hmm. we don't put all our eggs in one basket. We look at checks and balances. We look at a private-public mix. But I am kind of thrown by such a thing as rent control still being such an incredible hot potato where it can't be discussed.
Then you've got to stop being so nice to these city council members who are very amiable with you, Bob, but don't want to do shit for the public.
Now,
that's the problem.
What may happen, no promises here, but Santa Cruz remains a very fondly looked at community from across the state, is that there is considerable interest in a rent control forum here in Santa Cruz that would be drawing upon some very well-known people from across the state to come here.
Including Randy Silverman of the Berkeley Rent Control.
Including Randy, including some folks from Santa Monica, including some folks from San Francisco.
Maybe Seaside and San Jose?
And yes. In fact, they were there in Oakland 2 weeks ago.
Any updates on what's happening in those cities, by the way?
There is just cause ordinances being floated in Oakland. They tried to do a ballot measure and lost several years ago. These things don't tend to go away because they're so basic. Let me say this in some good way again. If you don't own property in Santa Cruz County and in the Bay Area in general, unless you inherit money or there's a loophole provided for you, you're not going to own property. And all people say that are into the tenants' rights movement is that people that are tenants deserve some respect. And we're not going to turn the clock back 500 years and go back to feudalism, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the fact that you can vote now without owning property should make a light go off in people's minds. Because the next step, the most honest step, and I believe that tenants' rights is one of the key civil rights issues of our time,
mm-hmm.
You should be protected from unreasonable gouges. If you are a tenant and you pay your rent on time and the landlord signed you in at a certain amount of rent, you should be protected from a gouge, from the unreasonable wiles of the market.
Hear, hear. Tell me, have you done much research as to rent control in other countries? I've never really heard that discussed much.
It's prevalent in Europe.
Hmm.
But they have a different perspective of society.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, the entire province of Ontario has rent control.
Mm-hmm.
This is not some wild let's bring Lenin's tomb to the town clock idea. Okay? It's just simply not.
I think Lenin's tomb is at the town clock.
It's no more wild than the idea that we should regulate electricity.
Doug Rand's tomb is at the town clock.
Nobody complains. None of the SCAN steering committee stands up against regulating utilities that I know of. But they don't have the courage and the principle and the integrity to represent those individuals that cannot own property in this community.
Now,
just because they do. And I want to drop some names here, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia Matthews.
Ooh.
Celia Scott.
Ah.
Bernice Belton.
Ooh. You're getting
all
right. scared
they own,
here,
they own property. They own nice property. And
they're in positions
Marty
of power,
Wormhout.
Too. Our supervisor now. Come on,
right.
I don't want you to criticize Marty now.
I could go on and on with this list.
You know, let me ask you this though, Bob. You were talking about putting together some kind of a forum. Is there a number people can call if they want to help with this?
Sure, they can call 466-0500.
466-0500.
And we'd be shooting for sometime in the late spring.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I raised it at the meeting in Oakland. There's considerable interest, as I said before. Santa Cruz retains this image of idealism. In many ways, it's correct. Santa Cruz is a pretty interesting town.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have, it's less apolitical than other places. Okay, but I find it interesting that such an issue like this as rent control would be so effectively dodged by those that really should be running with the ball. Now, where we're at in 2002 with tenants' rights is that tenants' rights equals affordable housing. That's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is off the map. Everything else is too hot. Everything else can't even be discussed above board.
Gotcha.
Okay, so what we're saying is that we're going to live in this capitalistic fantasy land where low-income workers live in welfare housing. I use that word selectively, and I'm not against affordable housing,
you know,
by the way.
I'm realizing, Bob, you're probably preaching a lot to a lot of the converted people.
I hear you, but there are others that listen to your show, Robert,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they listen intentively to your show.
Okay, well, I hope so.
I haven't called in your show in a long time.
Yeah, no.
And I haven't said liberation obedience.
You could say that a number
10,
of times.
15 minutes.
You better say that a few times.
In all likelihood, if it can be organized where it has a chance to be taken seriously, otherwise I don't want to bother with it at all, there will be a rent control forum sometime later this year. There will be a sincere attempt at providing one. I thought that what happened up in Oakland a few weeks ago was very significant. These issues tend to not get the press and the political interest because it's generally people without money. It's not the property people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not the people that are gonna pad your wallet for you. And that happens locally too. You got to ask yourself, why don't these so-called progressives step up to the plate with something as rational and moderate as rent control? Where do they get their funding from?
Well, listen, I want to thank you for making this clear to us, and I hope you continue to make it clear and give us continued updates, and I hope folks join your, well, I certainly am going to be supportive of this effort of a forum this spring. 466-0500 is the number. 466-0500 is the number to call to speak to Bob LaMonica and sign in to help with a rent control forum, and I hope you do. And Bob, keep us tuned and give us your summation now. And you may say liberation.
I'm right on the edge. I might have crossed my five times.
Well, I'll give you one more chance.
Let me just say this too. There,
liberation obedience is all right.
There are certain issues that retain my interest. And one of the reasons why is that they're so, for some reason or other, hot that people that run around claiming to be progressive refuse to deal with them because they think they're going to lose. And if they can't win, they're not going to touch it unless it's handed to them on a platter.
That's the spirit.
So I figure without some people addressing these things in our fair community, they're never going to be given even a marginal chance.
I have to agree with you. In fact, I'll agree with you again, but I'm afraid that you said liberation obedience one time too many. I'm going to have to cut you off here.
Robert, take care.
All right.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye. Yeah. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3, that rent control forum. Again, if you want to get in touch and help out with that forum, 466-0500. If you want to call us and let us know what's happening, maybe send a tech into the studio to help deal with this dead cassette player, give a call to 427-3772, 427-FRSC. This is 96.3 FM. Free Radio Santa Cruz in Santa Cruz. And I am Robert Norris. This is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, your civil rights on the streets show, in your face, out of your radio. And hopefully we'll get into the community and do something. And that's what's happening. I was going to actually give a lot of taped stuff, very good taped stuff, on interviews downtown around the seizure of private property. A couple of weeks ago, I was circulating a petition called the Action Petition for Diversity and Tolerance Downtown. It encouraged reversing the city council vote of January 8th, destroying the public seating area at Hippie Planter and handing over that area to Alibaba's Cafe and Sushi Now. It asked that the council end the downtown ordinances, which criminalize peaceful, non-obstructive sitting on the sidewalk 10 feet from a shop and 50 feet from an ATM. It asked to explore instead a downtown code of conduct or downtown mediation project as proposed in a $10,000 study funded and written by the city council. It was funded by the city council. It was written by Kim Hallinan and Daniel Rubin in 1995, and also to allow the display and sale of crafts on Santa Cruz sidewalks as Berkeley and Eugene has done. Making these changes may require, according to this petition, peaceful, nonviolent demonstrations downtown, including sit-ins, boycotting businesses intent on privatizing downtown public spaces, monitoring police harassment of poor and homeless people, and supporting legal challenges against repressive laws and policies. And for a couple of days, I and Bernard Klitzner, Becky Johnson, and a few others were out there gathering signatures on this petition, gathering support. Yesterday the next thing that I did was I drew up a set of guidelines, which I believe I read on the show about a week ago, both suggestions from the Sushi Now merchant Matisse Selman and from people at the Planter from both sides of the issue. What are the concerns of both sides? How can they be mediated? And I kind of laid them all out. The folks at the Planter were willing to do some mediating, and Matisse Selman said he was, but he never got back to me on the email. And after a while, I began to believe that he said, I got to get a new computer, or maybe he's not so serious about it. And in fact, I think that last is really the answer. Matisse often listens to this show, and if I'm wrong, Matisse, you certainly can call in and make your opinion known, and I welcome you to do that. My understanding now is, though, that you and Ali Ka, also known as Alibaba, who runs Alibaba's Cafe, have decided you're going to just go with this done deal at City Council, wall off the area, put up this, brass railing that will eliminate the Hippie Planter scene and replace it with some nice green tables, which people who pay money for sushi and falafel can sit at, and others who don't have the money won't be able to sit at, unless, of course, they get the permission of the two owners to use the public sidewalk. I'm going to assume that you have decided you're going to go with this, I've got to say, rather outrageous hijacking of public space. Engineered by the Downtown Association, probably supported by big businesses down there, large businesses like, I suspect New Leaf may be involved, and I don't have proof of that. The manager denies it. Anyway, I wrote this boycott petition, which I'm now going to be circulating and asking for people to sign. And it's not really so much to show to City Council or even to Sushi Now and Alibaba's, but to actually get some action on. And the petition reads as follows. Is it time to boycott the businesses whose backroom deals will kill Hippie Planter and Hippie Corner? Say no to merchant seizure of public sidewalks. Both Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe have agreed to a redevelopment agency downtown association scheme to rid the city of the youth scene in front of the New Leaf Market without meaningful public input, public debate, or public process. Sushi Now owner Matisse Selman acknowledged that it was his constant pressure that prompted this sidewalk giveaway, which will bar sitting down anywhere on the sidewalk or planters throughout the previously public area in front of New Leaf Market and the adjoining stores. Note that this isn't just the area that's being walled off that people will not be able to sit in. You will not be able to sit on the sidewalk 10 feet from any business area, and that will include the entire
area in front of New Leaf completely. You'll have to stand there. You will not be able to sit. The deliberate attack on a gathering spot, and a deliberate attack on a bunch of people, some of whom need to sit down. You know, some of the folks are older there, most of them are younger, I admit, but hey, even younger people need to sit down. This is an attempt to say, there is no place for you here. Get out. This is wrong. And has been pointed out by Kim, the Sentinel letter writer. This is not in accord with the traditional values of Santa Cruz. And it also, I think, it is counterproductive to businesses downtown, too. It's kind of ironic. They want to scapegoat homeless people because of the recession and because of other economic conditions that they don't want to address or they can't address. And Kim Bingham is completely right, and I can't agree with her more. New Leaf Market Management has denied their involvement in this Get Rid of the Hippies scheme, but New Leaf has not made any public protest against the social cleansing and is suspected of secretly backing it with a possible expansion in mind into the kiosks and into the nearby stores. This may be part of City Council's plan to create a gentrified zone pleasing consultants and city staff near the former Del Mar Theater, which is being handed over to George Au and Barry Swenson, who are promising only 36 days per year of public use. So 90% of the time they get it for private use. Though expressing sympathy for a proposed code of conduct which would allow the public to use the public sidewalk there, Selman and Alibaba's cafe owner Ali Ka have not returned emails or publicly committed themselves to this process. The code of conduct would address behavioral problems and concerns on all sides. The Street Performer's Guideline, an earlier such code of conduct, has been successfully used for 20 years to voluntarily regulate disputes between merchants, musicians, activists,